Session 139, March 10, 1965. Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, I'm most pleased with our sessions of late. Although both of you give much in time, energy, and dedication and effort to our sessions, you will receive much more than you give. I tell you this now, but you will know it without my telling you so, before too much of your time passes. Action itself cannot be directly perceived. It cannot be seen nor touched. Its nature can never be examined from an objective viewpoint. The objective viewpoint will, at best, give but hints and signs. Action, to be examined in such a manner, would have to be stopped. You cannot tamper with action, not with the basic nature of action, because any such tampering causes it to change. Action can be experienced directly, however, but only when no effort is made to tamper with it. It must be plunged into. Once more, action is not a function of structure. Action is inseparable from structure. Structure is action. Identities are action, as I've explained. Your idea of action as it occurs within dreams comes closer to the real nature of action than does your idea of muscular force. For in dreams, the ego makes little attempt to impede action. Though in dreams you see and feel your arm move, your legs run, still the arm and the legs of the physical body may not move. You cannot touch the action. You cannot touch the action now of your own arm as you write. You see the results of the action. You can feel effects of the action, but you cannot directly perceive the action itself. Since identity is dependent upon action, then it should be seen that it is impossible for an identity to attain stability, since total stability would destroy it. You come here also to one of the other causes of the dreaming state, besides those of which we have spoken in the past. The mind, of itself, and separated from the ego, must still be action, and therefore never still, since action of any kind, being composed of inner vitality, must seek materialization. The dreams become the constructions of that dream universe of which, again, we have spoken. But action can never complete itself. The dream once begun continues, and the dream universe itself forms anew other constructions. Here is an analogy. Imagine, then, the inner vitality being some cosmic sphere, but a sphere of more dimensions than you can imagine. Its motion could be called action. But this is deceptive because action is the basic nature of the sphere itself. Action is its composition. Action is that form which it is. Therefore, it moves. It acts outward. But all outwardness turns ultimately inward, and then again outward in all directions. And each inward action forms a new dimension that must again be thrust outward toward utilization. Yet each outward thrust turns again inward, and of itself, because of the nature of action, is the creation of new action. I suggest your break. Rob notes, break at 9:29, Jane was well dissociated. On a reduced scale, she said she was again aware of the concept of action without object, dealt with at some length in the notes in the last session. Jane now added the information that the concept of action reminded her of the Red Chair episode. See the 104th section, page 126. Jane, as Seth, was talking about a cell of her work, which has not yet taken place. A woman might have something to do with one cell through influence. An office with a modern red leather chair, small room, stories high, not at all elegant. This session took place on November 4, 1964. After the session, Jane was able to give a more detailed description of the red leather chair, Seth. Now, to continue with our analogy, this cosmic sphere, which we have imagined, would be a model of every action. Because of its own nature, it must act, yet no action can ever complete itself. The sphere would act in as many ways as were open to it, and every action changes that which is acted upon. Therefore, each action would create a new reality. In such a manner are all fields activated. If you will remember the three creative dilemmas discussed in our past sessions, you will see that we have here the reason for our self-perpetuating universe, the reason for termination within it, and the inherent necessity for change. If one thought were held forever, no other thoughts would follow, no action would follow, and no identity. In your own intimate psychological experience, in the intimate psychological experience of every individual within your race, you will find recognition of the thought. Thought cannot be seen or touched. Thought is action. A thought within your field must vanish, be terminated, disappear, before it can be replaced by another. The identical thought will not return. A very similar thought may return, but the two thoughts will not be identical, although you may perceive them as identical. This is an error of perception. No two actions are ever identical. We must mention here also a little regarding pulsations and the appearance or the resemblance of continuity. Every action involves a pulsation. You will recall we spoke of the pulsation of atoms and molecules. Rob notes, for some material on pulsations, see the 60 through 65th sessions, among others. Seth, now, I have just told you that one thought must terminate before another thought can appear. Although this might sound as if I'm speaking in terms of continuity, I am not. The action of our imaginary sphere upon and within itself is simultaneous and in all directions. All actions occur basically within the spacious present, but all action cannot be aware of itself except as it attempts further action, i.e. materializations. While so materialized, action is aware of itself in two basic ways, through its innate comprehension of itself, and through a secondary, more limited, but more focused perception of a self belonging to such a materialization. The intimate comprehension, of course, involves us with the inner self. The secondary self belonging to the materialization gives us, within your field, the ego. Action does not involve time as you know it. Action does not involve space as you know it. The semblance of continuity is merely the result of a choosing of some actions from an infinite number of simultaneous actions. I suggest you break. Rob notes, break at 10:03, Jane was well dissociated. She said she no longer fears running past regular break time every half hour, as she once did, especially when she began to deliver the material sitting down. While speaking tonight, Jane said she has within a definite feeling of pulsation. It might be likened to the perpetual opening and closing of a fist, she said, with each opening and each closing creating a new reality and thus moving itself perpetually on. Seth, I have several things I want to say. First, I want to make certain that action is understood, insofar as we have discussed it. Action is the inner vitality of all reality. It seeks to utilize itself in as many ways as possible. Its action, its attempts at outward materialization, however, must result in the creation of new inner vitality, for this is the stuff of which it is composed. And this new inner vitality will then seek materialization, and so the cycle is never completed. The word materialization is used because it is applicable within your field. Nevertheless, as you know, such materializations hardly all result in the construction of matter. One word for you, Joseph. I do most honestly and sympathetically understand your own problems. The sessions in my work resulting from them will never distract from your painting, although upon occasion it may appear that you suffer time-wise. The sessions have greatly increased your ability to use your inner visions and intuitions, and to free them so that they can be directed into your paintings. Rob notes, this I can attest is most certainly true. Seth, a note now concerning thought, as it is a form of thought with which all men are familiar. Here you can see that your own ego accepts thoughts as a part of its identity. Thoughts, actions, are accepted by the ego, yet the ego seems to stand apart from them. And because of ego's nature, it fears to plunge into the action of a thought. For it, the ego, has just recently pried itself from action, and so perceives action now as if action were a province of the ego, and not the other way around. But ego's seeming independence from action is basically meaningless, since ego is also action, and can never be otherwise. Any such separation of action from itself only adds to the totality of action, in that it increases action's ability to perceive itself from as many viewpoints as possible. Perspectives represent action's action upon itself. Any one dimension must result in another dimension, for the action within any given dimension can never complete itself, but will continue. I do not want to push Rupert in any way, and to prevent the possibility of his attempting to take another step, now I will close our session. My fondest regards to you both. Rob. Good night, Seth. Session 140, March 15, 1965, Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, there is no real need to fret or worry about Rupert's experiences of today. However, I'm afraid that we must temporarily clip his wings, for indeed he would go too fast too soon. These things vary with personality with Rupert. While the ego cannot directly or immediately participate in such, shall we say, excursions, it nevertheless must be kept up to date and give consent. The concentration of energy on Rupert's part is increasing. His ability for such focus is increasing. Rob notes, this reminded me that Jane recently remarked that when she tries psychological time now, it is the usual thing for her to achieve what she calls an excellent state. Seth. When such focus of energy quickens, it will often then propel itself onward, having built up momentum. This is what occurred today. The ego, in anger, would not allow the suggestions made to be carried out. The energy that would have been used in what you may call, for now, astral projection, was dammed up. The difficulty lay not necessarily in the particular suggestions given. The trouble was with the energy that would have been used to carry out the suggestions was dammed up by the ego. The ego simply feared the sudden increase of concentrated energy and fought on general principles. For a week, Rupert should try no outside experiments of any kind. After this period, we shall see. But there will not be a return to his past routine for quite a while. Other substitutes may prove adequate and effective, while offering more opportunity for checks and balances. The experience was exhausting for him, and such experiences are to be avoided. Psychological experiments as whole present him with an excellent means of using his energies. However, at times we must, as now, cut him down. There is a possibility that he will be tired tomorrow, although I hope not. Such a pulling of one part against the other is physically fatiguing. I did indeed contemplate putting off our session for this reason. I suggest now that you take your first break, as we will take it somewhat easy for tonight. Rob notes break at 9:18. Jane was not as well dissociated as usual, she said. Running water somewhere in the house annoyed her while she was speaking. She said she did not feel tired and didn't want a short session. She resumed at a faster pace at 9:25. Seth. Tonight's session will indeed be a brief one. Caution is always intelligent action in such matters. Rupert has been in enough of a trance as it is. However, even the action of speaking for me this session is beneficial as far as he is concerned. That is why I held the session to begin with. I did indeed attempt to tell him to use caution immediately after his last psychological time experiment. It is, of course, necessary that you learn through direct experience, and my warning you against various uncomfortable effects would not mean nearly as much if you did not, Rupert, experience a few of them. Were it not for my supervision, you could easily have experienced more of these. Our next session will cover much material, and I presume that Rupert will be in much better condition to hold it. Rob notes, Jane now smiled. Her delivery had been rather quick and animated throughout the session, giving the impression that Seth was more than a little amused by the day's events. Seth, perhaps we can lengthen it. However, I do not feel that Rupert should remain in a trance state today any longer than he already has. If our caution slows down the material, there is no need to worry about time. We have plenty of it. Patience, my pigeons, and if Rupert continues feeding his pigeons as he does, then they will all be as big as barns. My most sincere wishes to you both. I feel your emotions also at times. My fondness to you both grows. Remember also that Rupert's abilities are extremely promising, which is why we must be careful when and how he uses them. As for you, Joseph, you are extremely helpful to him because of your presence and your understanding. I will bring our short session to a close. Rob, good night, Seth.